Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We're continuing to study doctrine in the New Testament, and again, we're looking specifically at Jesus and doctrine, focusing on the teaching or the instruction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. We have looked at Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, sort of to lay the groundwork and to work back from Matthew chapter 7, the end of Matthew chapter 7, and to focus on the teaching that preceded the response of the people to Jesus's doctrine. And in other words, we're looking at what was actually said, what was taught, what Jesus's instruction actually was, that led to the response of the people. So we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and we are looking at the Beatitudes. That is Matthew chapter 5 is where we're starting. And we are focusing first of all on verses 3 through 11. And we are still looking at verse 3. And I certainly didn't have the intention to stay on this verse for as long as we have. So I'm going to offer an apology and then I'm going to take it back. I'm going to apologize that because it wasn't my intention to stay on this verse for so long. And then I'm going to take the apology back and say I'm going to continue to focus on this verse for a little bit longer, because our Lord actually had a lot to say, either directly through his teaching or as it relates to the scriptures and what is communicated in the divinely inspired word of God. That is the word of God, the scripture, the Bible. So the Lord had a lot to say concerning the poor. And over the course of Jesus's ministry, as well as the ministry and the witness of the apostles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is much to be said, not just concerning the poor, but also concerning the rich. Now, I'm going to call your attention to this once again, because it's important for us to understand not just how this portion of scripture is communicated in Matthew's account, but also how it is communicated in Luke's account as well. So here in Matthew, again, in chapter 5, verse 3, where we're focusing on what Jesus began his teaching with over this sermon, if you will, what is described as a sermon, where it says again in Matthew chapter 5, verse 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So as we look at what Luke says as well, and this is communicated in Luke chapter 6. And what is communicated here in Luke chapter 6 concerning the same teaching that our Lord communicates, he says in Luke chapter 6, verse 20, it says, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now, if we move down from verse 20 in Luke chapter 6, and we look at verse 24, it says, what Jesus says, he says, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. So this is a contrast between the rich and the poor. The poor are comforted, if you will. They are given a promise concerning the kingdom of God, or also translated the kingdom of heaven. And then in Luke, he actually communicates what Jesus says concerning the rich. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. So we're going to focus not just on the poor, but we're also going to focus on the rich. And that is because Jesus communicated words concerning both. And the scripture reveals this both as it relates to Jesus's ministry once again, as well as the inspired word of God as communicated through the apostles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So taking a look at some more scriptures that actually speak concerning the poor, we can take a look at Romans chapter 15, verses 25 and 26, and just sharing what was communicated here concerning the poor. When we talk about not just what is communicated directly to the poor from Jesus Christ, but also what is communicated concerning the poor. And in Romans chapter 15, in verses 25 and 26, it says, "But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." So we see here, as the Apostle Paul describes or explains, communicating in this letter to the saints at Rome, that there is a ministry to the saints, and specifically there is an offering, contributions that have been given for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And this is why I am emphasizing, as the Lord communicates his words here concerning the poor, that we must bear in mind the responsibility of the church, wherein we understand that Jesus has given an eternal promise concerning the kingdom of heaven to the poor. But as we've already pointed out, this is not an automatic inheritance. It requires faith. It also requires repentance. But the focal point here is that the gospel, or the good news, is preached to the poor, that the poor are not ostracized by God. They are not ostracized or kept away from the promise of eternal life. They are not outsiders concerning the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, because Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save all who are lost. And the poor were certainly deemed or viewed as hopeless and outsiders from the blessings of God, and therefore from the kingdom of God. And the rich, of course, were viewed as those who were abundantly blessed by God and therefore in favor with God, and certainly viewed as those who are saved. And I don't believe that it's very much different in our day. We certainly esteem those who are rich, those who are of status and reputation, above those who are poor, those who are on the outskirts of society, and those who seem to be or appear to be on the outskirts of the church. So again, let's look some more at what is communicated concerning our responsibility, specifically for the poor among the household of faith, the saints, believers, those who are the children of God. So 2 Corinthians, we had already looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, but I want to share the scriptures before we get to verse 9, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. And it says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Now, this is communicated in Romans chapter 15, verse 26, and it is highlighted here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So this is the offering for the saints. This is the contribution for the poor saints. And he goes on to say, the Apostle Paul, that is, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, "And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So here again, we have that the contribution is preceded by the actual offering of oneself. That is, the offering of self precedes the offering for the poor saints. So we as God's people are first called to give ourselves to the Lord. That's why in Romans it says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And this is again for us to be holy and acceptable unto God, right? So all that we offer God after we offer ourselves are part of the sacrifice unto God. And this extends to the people of God. And this is what I'm emphasizing here, what is also emphasized here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And again, looking at verse 5, where the offering of those who are believers preceded their contribution or their offering for the poor saints or those in need among God's people. So if you know, it's interesting how the church has an approach concerning the poor that we depend, and I'm saying the poor among God's people. Again, we depend so much on others to give. We speak of paying taxes, we speak of all the things that we do, which is certainly true. But when we speak of the household of faith, there is a higher calling and there is an offering of ourselves wherein we are sanctified, set apart, called by God to demonstrate his love and to demonstrate our love toward one another. So in as much as God has given himself for us, sacrificing his son for our salvation, we are then to give ourselves unto God and for one another in the name of Jesus Christ. So this is, again, where we begin to focus more specifically on our responsibility as God's people rather than feeling like, you know, this promise to the poor, although it is a standing promise from the Lord Jesus Christ, it does not absolve us as God's people of our responsibility to take care of one another as believers. So the Apostle Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6, he says, insomuch that we desire Titus that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. And it says in verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. So this is not binding. This is a part of our love for one another. So it is not to be, as has been communicated in Scripture, not grudgingly or of necessity, but out of love. The demonstration, not just concerning our love for one another, but our love for God and what he has done for us and that he calls us to demonstrate toward him and toward one another in our response to his love. So, and this is where the Apostle Paul highlights what we had talked about before here in verse 9 in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So once again, this is what is communicated in Scripture, and oftentimes, sometimes I think as we consider what the Lord is teaching concerning the poor in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, in what is referred to as the Beatitudes, where he says again, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we have looked at Luke chapter 6, where the Lord communicates not just this same promise concerning the poor, but also the woe or the warning regarding the rich, and now highlighting what is communicated in Scripture concerning our responsibility for the poor as God's people, and specifically concerning the poor among God's people. So what I was getting to is, it is very easy to pose the question, what would Jesus do? I'm not a fan of that question, because my thought is, if we taught more about what Jesus taught and how Jesus lived, we wouldn't have to ask so many questions about what he would do, because we already have the account of what he said and what he did. And therefore, it is important for us to now move our feet, our hearts, our minds, ourselves in the direction of obedience and following his example and obeying his instruction, his words, his doctrine, his teaching. And this is what I'm trying to highlight here. As we look again at what was communicated, and I'm going to use this teaching that Jesus had already communicated to highlight once again this responsibility for the poor, and the apprehension and the I'd say tension, for lack of a better word, but the way that the poor are viewed and the way that the rich are viewed, and the response oftentimes that the rich have toward the poor. That's what I want to say. So I want to look again at what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 19. And the words of our Lord here in Matthew chapter 19, we have taken a look at. But I want to sort of highlight a couple of things that the Lord says here in response to the rich young ruler. Matthew chapter 19, where the Lord is speaking to the rich young ruler who came to him. And I'm going to read, start at verse 16, and then I'm going to end at verse 24. So at 16, it says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, that is complete, that is full, showing your commitment to what is pleasing to God, he says, Go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So again, giving to the poor, having treasure in heaven, and following Jesus Christ. So this is the call that is an unchanging call in terms of our heart for the poor. So what do I mean by that? I'm not saying that Jesus has called every rich person to sell everything they have and give it to the poor, but he certainly has called them, particularly as believers, to not trust in their riches, but to have confidence in the treasure that is heavenly rather than the earthly treasure. And this comes in Christ. This comes through faith in Christ. Otherwise, we don't have any right to the inheritance that Jesus promises. This is for both the rich and the poor. And so when we consider these words, the response is, in verse 22 here in Matthew chapter 19, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So again, what is the problem? The problem is his attachment to his stuff. And Jesus then says in verse 23, then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So as we consider the words of our Lord, I am once again calling your attention to this contrast between the rich and the poor and what the Lord requires. What the Lord requires in relation to the poor, because this is really how this should be viewed. What are we willing to give up in order to follow Christ, to have treasure in heaven, and to minister to those who lack? This is really what is being communicated with strength here, and it is in the spirit of Christ, because this is heavenly instruction, and therefore this is what is pleasing to God, and this is the word of God. This is the instruction of God. And so this is what our Lord Jesus is communicated. So for us to then communicate this same message, it is in line with the spirit, the teaching, the word of Christ. So this is what I am seeking to emphasize for us again. And when we look at what is communicated in this same portion of scripture, the words that are used in Mark chapter 10 and that are used in Luke chapter 18. So in Mark chapter 10, it communicates the same message. It just highlights again the emphasis on trusting in riches, you know, and this is where the problem is, that the problem is to trust in the riches rather than to trust in God. And this is in Mark chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. And what's communicated here is, and Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. And then in verse 24, again in Mark chapter 10, and the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And many rich people may take issue with this, and it certainly seems offensive to the rich person. And why would it be offensive? Because the rich person ain't trying to give up their riches for the most part. And then it's interesting because we have other scripture that highlights at times, even when the rich give, they give from their abundance. You know, you have tax write-offs, you have many things that work to the advantage of the rich. And this is just a fact. But that being said, I'm still not communicating that a rich person can't be saved, or someone who is a Christian and rich is not saved. But I am saying what Jesus said, and it is what he taught. How hardly shall they that are rich enter into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. But he promises the poor, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Listen, nowhere to go but up if you're poor. If you're rich, you got to come down before you go up. And this is the stumbling block for the rich, because their tendency is to trust in their riches. So as we look again at what the scripture says now, is as we move toward highlighting more this disparity or this contrast between the rich and the poor, you know, let's take a look at James and what is communicated in the book of James, and then we're going to work our way back to more of what our Lord communicated here. So if we look in the book of James concerning the rich and the poor, we have multiple passages here in James that address the rich and the poor, or that speak to the rich and the poor. Looking at James chapter 1, for example, if we consider the rich. Now, when we talk about the rich, we're speaking about those who obviously are wealthy. They're abounding with wealth. And the words that are communicated really speak of a lifestyle or having an abundance of possessions or abundance of money, having plentiful and again, living a wealthy life or living, you know, as the song says, living the best life, living in luxury, living a magnificent life, living a splendid life, a lavish life, a deluxe life, living a grand life. So if we look at James in the first chapter, we look at verses 9 through 12, what is communicated. It says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Now, this is pointing out the poor. OK, and then it says in verse 12 here in James chapter 1, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Now, again, what is this saying? The brother of low degree, that's the poor. Rejoice in that you're exalted. Well, what does that mean? Is everything suddenly going to turn in your favor concerning this life and your poverty? Well, yes, spiritually, yes. You have been promised the kingdom of heaven as a matter of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is despite your poverty. This is in the midst of your poverty, and this is above and beyond your poverty, which is to say that everything in this life doesn't suddenly change in terms of what you have in terms of earthly possessions, but it changes in terms of what you claim, what you've been promised, and what you inherit in terms of heavenly possessions. And this is what is being communicated here. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. By who? For what? You have been raised up to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. Despite your poverty, in the midst of your poverty, above and beyond your poverty. And as I said before, you have to ask yourself, is this sufficient? My brother from Kenya just preached here this past Sunday, and I love what he said. He said, Jesus is best. Oh, Lord, Jesus is best. And this is what I proclaim to the poor. And I say, rejoice in what you have been promised through faith in Christ. You have been promised the kingdom of heaven, and you have been exalted. That's good news. You should rejoice in that. But there's the warning to the rich, and yet there's the opportunity within the warning that the rich, you are made low. Okay? As the grass, he shall pass away. As the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. In James chapter 1, now looking at verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. And then in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This is the requirement for the poor. Do you love Jesus? Do you trust in his promise? Do you understand that he has promised you a crown of life, the crown of life, and the kingdom of heaven? So we will continue to look at the rich and the poor, and concerning what the Lord teaches in doctrine in the New Testament, and specifically in relation to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And at this point, again, we're going to focus on the poor and the rich in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God. Now, until the next time, make sure you remember that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.